Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Michael Parkinson became director of the MTSU School of Music in July 2013. He came to us from Ohio University, where he was director of the School of Music there and a professor teaching courses in jazz studies and music industry entrepreneurship. He is a trumpeter, and his resume is extensive with performances at festivals across the United States and around the world. He has worked with acts ranging from Glen Campbell to Manhattan Transfer. A native of Cleveland, Tennessee, Parkinson earned his bachelor's degree in music education from the University of North Texas, his master's degree in trumpet performance from Kent State University, and his doctorate of musical arts in wind conducting from the University of Cincinnati. What does it take to run a school of music as large as ours? We'll find out after MTSUnews.com toots its own horn.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. MTSU's new science building has received a significant boost with a $1.5 million grant from the Christie Houston Foundation. The grant will go toward the $147 million state-of-the-art science facility, which is on schedule to open for classes in spring 2015. The second MTSU Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, October 25th, netted 23 pounds of prescription drugs and over-the-counter items from the campus community and the public. The event outside the Student Health, Wellness, and Recreation Center enabled people to dispose of expired or unneeded medications responsibly. And the True Blue Blood Drive drew 653 potential donors October 21st through 23rd. The Red Cross says 518 of those were able to donate successfully. Student volunteers helped sign in donors, escorted them to parking places, and gave them snacks. For MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUnews.com.
Thanks for being with us today, Michael. We appreciate it. We know your time is valuable.
Well, it's an honor to be with you. I appreciate this opportunity.
Why did you want this job?
Well, it was unexpected, first of all. I'd served at Ohio University as the director of the School of Music and had actually stepped down and gone back to full-time teaching. I was previously the chair of the Department of Music at Webster University for 10 years and then went to Ohio thinking that that would be my last stop on the train. And directed the school there for 5 years, and it was a pretty rough time to be an administrator, so I thought, okay, I'm going to teach my way to retirement. And one day the phone rang, and a friend who teaches here was on the other end and said, you need to look at this. You need to apply for this. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think I'm going to just finish up my career at Ohio. He was pretty emphatic about it. So I looked at it, and I thought, well, why not? Let's see what happens. I'm actually a native of Cleveland, Tennessee, so for the opportunity to come back to my home state and to serve the future music was very enticing. And so here I sit, and most gladly so.
Are you continuing in the dual role of administrator and professor here?
Yes, I will actually start teaching on a limited basis next semester. The dean gave me a semester to kind of get used to the way things are done and also get started with recruiting and development activities, which I've been very busy at. But next semester, I will start teaching. I will be teaching the jazz education methods course for music education majors, and I'll also be doing the weekly jazz masterclass.
What are your main goals and priorities for the School of Music?
Well, it's taking some time to figure some of that out, but the things that I'm working on right now, development, donor relations, that's a very important part of the job because it's essential for us to carry our message of who we are and what our needs are for the future to those who will listen. And that includes our wonderful current donors and networking with new people so that we can continue to build the financial base for the School of Music. And of course, I'm also working on recruiting.
Is that something that academics as a rule are loath to do, is recruitment and soliciting for funds? I get the impression that some professors would rather just prefer to teach.
I think that's true, but my father was a salesman, and I used to go with him when he was selling. First of all, he worked in a meat market. He was a meat cutter. He wasn't a butcher. He was a meat cutter. And he made sure that every time he handed a product to a customer that it was the very best. There was never any shortcuts. And he left that industry and went into office equipment. And I used to come home from college, and I would make his run with him. And it was the same thing. It didn't matter if it was a box of pencils or paper clips or a Brewer's bookkeeping system or an IBM computer. He was delivering the very best. And so that level of service and standard really made an impression upon me and my work as a teacher, but especially as an administrator representing the institution. I'm excited to represent the institution and our School of Music because I believe that we have something unique to offer, and to carry that message forward is a major honor. And I understand that's not for everyone, but for me, it's something I really love doing.
Now, the School of Music is unique in that you don't have to audition, so to speak, to get into the School of Social Work, for example. But you do have to show some proficiency with music before you're accepted here, right?
That is correct. It is not open admission to be a music major nor a music minor. This is one of the key differences between MTSU and other schools, is that at many schools, students can declare being a music minor without playing for the faculty or even meeting with the faculty. They go to an office, they fill out a form, they sign up for courses, and when it's all said and done, they're a music minor. Here at MTSU, the faculty voted a long time ago that they wanted to hear everyone who wanted to be a minor as well as a major. So there is a standard, which I'm very proud of, that needs to be met by all prospective students who wish to be music majors or music minors.
Now, that is not just about accreditation. That is about that is a voluntary, highly intentional assertion of quality. We intend on quality.
That is exactly right. MTSU is a member of the National Association of Schools of Music, NASM. That's the national accrediting body. But the audition process goes well beyond what is normal for a lot of schools. A lot of schools have auditions, but in some cases they're cattle calls. Everyone who shows up auditions and they get accepted. That's not true at MTSU. It is selective because we can only take so many of X students. And in other instruments, the so-called threatened instruments, we're very, very busy recruiting. That's one reason I'm on the road, because we're looking for double reed players or viola players or other instruments that there are not as many plentiful to begin with. But the standard of the institution, we want to make sure that it is high, not artificially high. We're not trying to be elitist in any shape, form, or fashion, but we want people to understand that there is a standard. We want them to meet that standard because this gives them more of a quotient for success once they graduate.
You want them to understand that this ain't American Idol.
Thank you.
How does one recruit the best and the brightest for a university school of music? How do you know where to look for those students?
Well, it's a very complicated process. Recruiting is like rust. Rust never sleeps. Recruiting never stops. We're just as busy and at it as the athletic department is. The football coach is looking for a quarterback. I'm looking for an oboist. The baseball team wants a fastball pitcher. I'm looking for a double bass player. The track team wants a hurdler. I'm looking for a high note soprano. So word of mouth, building a network of teachers that you can rely upon, going to college fairs, visiting high schools, hearing ensembles rehearsed, talking directly to teachers is very, very important. And so it's also email, it's telephone, it's texting, you name it. Anything that we can do to identify, reach out to, and cultivate a relationship with teachers and their students, we do it.
Has the relative diminution of funding for public high school arts classes in recent years hurt music training for students at the high school level?
Yes, it has. This is not a national phenomenon. It's more of a regional phenomenon right now, but yes, it has. And yet there are many areas of the country where music programs are flourishing, where students are very excited to participate in bands and choirs and orchestras and jazz bands. And I just visited four high schools in the Marietta, Georgia area, Cobb County Schools, and was thrilled to see the high level of achievement of the students and the facilities and the teachers' dedications to very, very high standards. Arts education in general is easily threatened by people who say that it is not essential. We hear all this emphasis upon STEM. We'd like for it to be STEAM. We'd like to have the A entered into STEM because we think that the arts are essential. We know that they are. It is proven that students who participate in fine arts programs in high school are very serious. They understand discipline. They have better skills at interacting with others. They meet strangers much better. They're more adaptable. And they're more creative in terms of dealing with problematic situations. They tend to score better on ACT and SAT standardized tests.
And there is a synthesis between music and math, is there not, intellectually?
Absolutely, because music is based on mathematical equations of intervals, half steps and whole steps, time, rhythm, all kinds of issues are mathematically based.
We'll take a break here and we'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center helps to promote awareness and understanding of the wide variety of cultures represented at MTSU. The center provides information, referrals, and resources. Additionally, IDAC tries to make students from different cultures feel welcome and comfortable on campus so they can have every opportunity to fulfill their academic, social, and personal potential. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Michael Parkinson, the director of the MTSU School of Music. Are your best students those who have already had some professional training in their pre-college years? Or could a voice student, for example, just come to you from the church choir in their small town and just knock your socks off?
Yes and yes. Each student is different. And we are doing our very best to follow the directive that comes from the president, that we will invest equally in every single student. And so we want to give that student who is coming to us from the church choir, who has an incredible voice but may never have had private voice lessons. But when we hear that audition, we understand that this is something really quite remarkable. The same thing for the student who may have been studying with a member of the Nashville Symphony or the Memphis Symphony or somewhere else who's had years and years of private lessons. They're coming in very focused, and they understand what it means to live in the practice room, for example. So both kinds of students, that raw talent and then that talent that already has some sheen to it, we're looking for both of those people.
Do you tend to believe that music students are better at self-discipline and time management than some students in other disciplines might be? Because you don't get to stick around without practicing.
Well, time management is a skill that music majors really have to work at, because the discipline of spending time by oneself in a practice room with one's instrument, even if you're just a singer, you're still with your instrument. Sitting at the piano, all music majors have to learn how to play the piano. This takes hours a day. And it's easy for music majors, or for anyone for that matter, to lose sight of what is to be done and the best way to do it. And so we do spend time reinforcing good study habits. We spend time talking about time management, because we don't want being a musician to become drudgery, because there is so much joy in making music and sharing music. But students sometimes lose that joy. They forget why they are here.
They get burned out?
They absolutely do. And for some students who were superstars in high school, they come here and they're not as good as some of the others that they're hearing. And that can be depressing, and so they start pulling back. And so we try to work with those students to identify them and give them the encouragement that they need to go forward. Time management skills are absolutely essential for music majors. Now, for me personally, the first thing that I do in the morning when I hit the office is to greet everyone, check in, see what's going on, and then I immediately head to the practice room to warm up. That is my time. That is a selfish commodity. That is the time that I'm holding for myself. And music majors and artists in general need to be able to say, this is my time for me to be better at what I do.
That is like your morning exercise, your morning constitutional, if you will.
It is. I also exercise every morning. I despise exercise, but I do it. Mm-hmm. But warming up every day, getting a minimum amount of time to go through the basic drills and studies that I have to do to maintain credibility as a performer, if I don't do it, I should quit.
Is it difficult for students to find a place to practice where they won't be disturbing other people if they live in the dorm or they live in an apartment complex, for example?
Well, the music building has very extensive hours for music majors to come in and use the practice rooms. And the practice rooms are generally pretty well acoustically sound. We have a lot of the winger practice rooms, which really are excellent for practicing. Of course, Monahan Hall is the music residential hall, and there's practice rooms there. So we do our very best to provide practice rooms. Also, unlike a lot of institutions, we do not have assigned time for students to practice.
So this is not something you don't book appointments in advance to get to use a room.
That is correct. A lot of schools do that, but we've decided to not do that.
So
it makes the time competitive sometimes, right? Because there are certain hours that are preferred over others.
First come, first served.
That's right. That's okay. Also called a reality of life.
Yeah. Can you practice in the wee hours of the morning if you want to?
The answer is yes. Some students do stay in the building, but the building is locked. They have card access to get in and out. But, you know, we don't want to discourage people from practicing, but we also want them to get a good night's rest so that they'll make their 8 o'clock music theory classes.
Do you have students from related majors like recording industry taking music classes?
Absolutely. It's possible for our recording industry students to be music minors through the music industry program or some of the other areas. This is something I'm really proud of, is the association that we have with the College of Mass Communications and the recording industry program. I'm looking forward to improving that relationship, expanding it, and seeing where we can go together in terms of curricular interaction and overlay. We think this is really, really important for their students, but especially for ours, because we want our students to become more entrepreneurial and approaching their careers to understand they have many, many opportunities. And interacting with RIM is one of the great things that we hope to develop.
Do you have music minors who have unique, seemingly unrelated majors?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because last night in Memphis, we were talking to several students. One is going to be a psychology major, a music minor. Another is a special education major, a music minor. Another student was looking at business as a major and doing a minor in music. Now, music figures into all three of those majors in a way, should they choose to use it. So what they're doing is basically saying that music is essential to who they are, but they don't wish to pursue it as a career option. But they may change their minds.
The American Democracy Project is a nonprofit initiative which strives for greater voter registration and civic participation among young people at MTSU and at campuses nationwide. Through encouragement from professors and peers, young adults are shown the value of being more active citizens in their community, their state, and their nation. ADP seeks to nurture programs that raise the campus community's level of engagement with society. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We'll take another quick break here, and we'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record. We're talking with Michael Parkinson, the director of the MTSU School of Music. Do you give students any advice when it comes to the local Murfreesboro music scene, which is an interesting little microcosm in and of itself? Suppose you have a guitarist or whatever wants to play gigs on the side, apart from their studies and apart from what they're learning musically in the classroom. Do you advise them not to do that for the extra money or for the thrill of it all or for, you know, whatever? Do you feel it's too draining on them, or do you think it will be good opportunities?
I think it's an essential opportunity, and I'll tell you a little story. When I was a freshman in college at the University of Tennessee, I really wanted to be a jazz trumpet player. And I was practicing, taking trumpet lessons and everything, and I was trying to write a few jazz pieces, and I wasn't very good, but I had a lot of heart for the music, and I was working at it. And my trumpet teacher was dead set against me doing this. He said, you need to learn how to play the trumpet first and then learn how to play jazz. So you shouldn't be out trying to play this music. You shouldn't be out playing. You need to be in the practice room. And my counter to him was, When am I going to be good enough in your eyes to go do this? And these opportunities are being given to me now without me having to work for them. Why shouldn't I take advantage of this now and learn the good and the bad? And if I fall on my face, I fall on my face.
So this was your out-of-the-classroom learning.
That's exactly right.
I'm sure you've heard complaints about, quote-unquote, dead white men when it comes to learning about, you know, classical music and all that. But the MTSU School of Music takes classical very seriously, takes jazz very seriously, takes Latin music very seriously. Is rock music gaining currency in the field of music education in academia?
That's a hard question to answer. In general, I have to say the answer is no. So many schools are highly resistant to anything that deals with so-called commercial music. I think that's a mistake. In the School of Music, we have what's called the Commercial Music Ensemble. Now, that's a deadly name, quite frankly, but that's what it's called.
To differentiate it from the other types of music being played at the School of Music.
That is exactly right. And this is an ensemble directed by Matt Lund for singers and instrumentalists that's dealing with what would, for lack of a better word, be called rock music or a top 40 from whatever year it would be, all the way back into the early 60s, from the Brill Building, Carole King, the Motown sound, the Beatles coming forward, because our students need to know that in many cases, these are the songs that are now considered American musical standards.
The Brill Building being, I take it, the American version of Tin Pan Alley for the rock generation, and Neil Diamond, Neil Sedaka, and whoever else was writing there.
Paul Anka, that's exactly right. All of those people.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking about Carole King and her magnificent contribution to music, those songs are important. They tell a story about America. And to say that those songs are not valid in academia is... that's an interesting way of putting it. I don't go along with that. We want our students to be able to have skills that they can use regardless of the musical setting in which they find themselves. That's one of the things that's great about a school like MTSU, which has a solid classical tradition. The training in classical music is at the core of who we are and should be. However, to have a very strong, flexible jazz program. And by saying flexible, it's not to say that we're trying to make everybody into great bebop players so they'll play like Charlie and Dizzy and Bud Powell and Monk. No, they've got to find their own personality and experiment and deal with every kind of jazz music that there is. And we know that there's a lot of jazz that sounds more like pop music. If that wasn't the case, people like Kenny G wouldn't be so popular.
Fusion, they call it.
Right, or fusion light in some cases. Mm-hmm. Also, the blues is such an important part of our language. Students need to know how to deal with very simple formats. The gospel tradition, contemporary Christian music. There is a relationship that comes from jazz and Latin music that influences all of these things. And so we want our students to be aware of this and not turn up their noses at an opportunity to play in a praise band at a church, for example, because they need that experience. Or to be a backup guitar player behind a blues singer. They need that experience. Or to go out and play with a Latin group that is highly commercial. They need these experiences.
Where does country music stand on the music academia credibility continuum?
Country music remains something that is sort of where jazz was many years ago, and it's something that people want to do, and they will learn how to do it, whether the university supports it or not.
But jazz has come to be known as America's classical music.
In many circles, that is true. But I came from an era where jazz was definitely a four-letter word, and you'd better not be playing it in the practice room. You know, defining country music is absolutely impossible anymore because there are so many different genres. There are so many different musicians.
And country and blues are very much interrelated.
They are very related to each other.
We'll pause one more time. We'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area is managed by MTSU's Center for Historic Preservation. A partnership unit of the National Park Service, the Heritage Area tells the whole story of America's greatest challenge, offering assistance with Civil War and Reconstruction-era programs. Our projects include historic driving tours, museum exhibits, and nominations to the National Register of Historic Places. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
In our final moments with Michael Parkinson, director of the MTSU School of Music, what attracted you to the trumpet as opposed to any other instrument?
Well, my brother was a trumpet player. I can actually trace back my musical lineage as a trumpet player a century. I'll give you the very brief story in that there was a man in Chattanooga, Tennessee, whose name was Ed, who played the trumpet when he was a child. He had a son named Bob who became a trumpet player. Bob was a very good trumpet player. Bob ended up being a preacher instead of a trumpet player, but he kept playing. He ended up being a preacher at a small church in Cleveland, Tennessee, where a little boy named Larry heard him play, wanted to play the trumpet. The preacher said, "Larry can play my horn if you'll help me clean the church." Larry did that. Larry became a very fine player, and Larry had a little brother whose name is Mike. That's how it all got started. That's the Reader's Digest Ultra condensed version. So I grew up hearing my brother play. He was 10 years older than me, and he would work on all his band music, and then he would improvise. He would play along with rock records or play standards or things, and I thought it was amazing that he could just play without music. And then he joined what was called the Columbia Record Club. And brought home records by Miles Davis and Dizzy Gillespie and Dave Brubeck and Charlie Mingus, Woody Herman, Duke Ellington. I got to hear all of this music, and it ruined my life.
Now, surely he didn't let you play his trumpet.
Well, actually, when he went away to college, he decided to not take the horn with him, and he left it behind, and that's how I got started playing, was on his trumpet.
Now, they say that trumpet players can lose their lip as they get older. But I remember a British jazz trumpeter named Humphrey Littleton, who was on the BBC a lot, and he hosted a funny quiz show, but he was also a very serious jazz musician, and he was still kicking out the jams when he was in his 80s. So what's the truth?
Some years ago, Gerald Wilson, who's a wonderful Los Angeles musician, great, great musician, was doing a guest residency at UMKC, where at that time I was the director of jazz studies. And he said to me, and Gerald was in his 70s at the time, he said, "Mike, you're a trumpet player." I said, "Yes, I am, Gerald." He said, "And you practice every day." I said, "I do my very best." He said, "Me too. I practice every day if it's at all possible." He said, "You know, Mike, the trumpet always wins, but every now and again I get lucky." And I think that's a very good way to put it, is that the trumpet is a very demanding instrument. And yet, maintaining the face, maintaining the embouchure, keeping the muscles and everything going, the breathing mechanism, it takes time and effort. My former trumpet teacher from Kent State University, Harry Hareforth, died recently at the age of 96. He was still playing the trumpet well at the age of 94. And this can be the case. You can play it well into one's 80s. For example, Kenny Wheeler, the great Canadian trumpet player who lives in England, has for many years, is in his 80s. He sounds wonderful. Does he sound like the Kenny Wheeler of age 45? No. But he still has a burnished sound that's unlike anyone else's in the world, and he can play one note. And I think, that note is not that, where is that note on my horn? I don't think I have that note. take that horn back to the factory. Get me that note. So what people in their 70s and 80s bring to the music is really quite remarkable. You think of Wayne Shorter, who is now 80 years old, just won 3 International Critic Poll Awards from Downbeat magazine. So the trumpet is demanding. I hope to keep playing for a couple of more years. There are those times I think to myself, what in the world are you doing? I'm still looking for the sweet notes.
Michael Parkinson, thank you for being our guest today.
It's been my honor. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.